Welcome to Bread and Butter, the podcast from East London Radio and Arapina. I'm Ian, I'm the radio guy at East London Radio, and with me is Michaela Pontiki, who is...
the founder of Arapina, an award-winning healthy lifestyle bakery that specialises in vegan, gluten-free and sugar-free options.
That sounded very politely explained. So everyone knows who we are, what we're doing, and these podcasts are about healthy food, healthy lifestyle,
well-being,
and we have amazing guests.
Always. Our first guest is Charlie from All Press.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. I mean, we love All Press. Everyone loves All Press in Arapina.
It's good to hear.
I think part of our success is because it's partially the coffee that we offer, to be honest with you.
Well, that's a great endorsement. I would say it's a lot based on your delicious
thank you
products.
Very much. Thank you. I mean, yes, we have similar values. So we do really, really good quality products, I think. And when you pair the two, I think it's a recipe for success. So I want to start by saying that, as I said earlier, that on the 1st of October, it is the International Coffee Day. And quite a lot of things were happening in October in London, historically, traditionally, let's say. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah. I think a lot of, you know, it was very events based, and I think it was an opportunity for everyone to teach about coffee and get people involved. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, obviously events have been impacted this year, but actually this week is UK Coffee Week. So,
which is amazing.
Luckily, I think a lot of places have still managed to get involved with that, which is exciting because it's all proceeds go to charity. So it's a great, great opportunity to do some coffee stuff, but also help coffee farmers.
So what is about UK Coffee Week and the charity? Can you tell a little bit more about it? So do coffee shops participate this week, and then do they raise money?
Yeah, so people take part in different ways. Cafes will do things like donate a certain percentage of coffee drinks to Project Waterfall, or percentage off a bag of coffee or something like that. So in our, for example, in Dalston, we've got a raffle going, so you can win, for example, a Mocha Master and a year's worth of coffee. So, you know, great prizes, and Project Waterfall is a great charity who, they're trying to bring basically water to communities that have a connection to coffee, but have water insecurity.
Okay.
And so that's what they're trying to help with, and they've been around for about 10 years. So it's really exciting to be involved with them, and I think they're trying to get over the £1 million mark this year, which is cool.
Oh wow, that's amazing! Has it going on for 10 years? You said, and I guess it hasn't always been that. Successful or of that level, I guess
have you seen
an increase over the years?
I think we have. It's so it's connected to the London Coffee Festival, so it's always around the same time, and so there's a lot of hype, and it's so I think it grows every year, and I think they've got about 250 cafes involved this year.
Okay.
So that's good.
That's brilliant. Is this only in London or across the UK?
Across the UK. I think if you go to UK Coffee Week's website, there's a map of all participants and how you can get involved. And even if you're not near a cafe, there's options on there for buying coffee for home and still supporting Project Waterfall. So we, for example, actually, if you go to our website, allpressespresso.com, can I plug stuff?
Yeah.
And you sign up for a subscription, we're going to donate the value of the first subscription to Project Waterfall. So however much you're signing up for, we're going to just donate all of that first order to Project Waterfall.
That's very, very good. And that's only once a year for 1 week in October?
Yeah.
Or was it moved from...
So it was moved from like April, I think, is when the coffee festival normally is. So it normally coincides a similar time. Yeah.
Okay. Do you think that next year is going to follow the regular calendar, or you think it's going to follow this calendar?
I'm not so sure.
So the next one who wants to participate, like ourselves, which we're always missing it, unfortunately, you wouldn't be able to tell us whether it's going to be at that time or... April, so close to each other, let's say.
I think I would say they'd probably bring it back in line. I'm not entirely
of
sure,
course,
but
because we don't know what's happening with the general conditions of the country. All right, well, that's exciting. Did you even know about that?
No, I didn't. I'm learning. I'm learning a lot here. Yeah.
So maybe we can do something at ELR, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say there was a point when, after the lockdown, and I was buying some stuff from your fine bakery, and you had coffee, and it was all press. I took it home, and my wife was like, "That's my favourite." Genuinely, she really, really likes all press coffee.
I think
I'm not just saying that because he's here. I promise you.
I love this place. It's great.
No, we only invite people who are big fans of, to be honest with you.
Okay,
so you are so
great big love session. Really.
We didn't got the CEO of McDonald's in. Don't worry. Okay. So because we. So yes. So is there any other events happening then in London or the UK that you know of or are related to coffee this year? Of course, it is a particularly challenging year. We don't need to go too much into this, but usually around the London Coffee Festival, there is such a hype. There's so many things happening that you really do not know where to go first. Is there anything else that we should know perhaps?
The London Coffee Festival is putting on it's called the Global Coffee Festival.
Okay.
So they've united, I think, all of their coffee festivals into one online coffee festival.
Online
event. Yeah. And basically, it's in November, but I don't know what date. But Global Coffee Festival is the...
And it is online.
It's the name, and it's online.
And yes,
so
go ahead.
And then there's other other regional coffee festivals and stuff. Often they've moved online too. So if there's if there's one that you've been wanting to visit,
to
I'd say have a look, and more likely than not there'll be something.
How can you move? What is the, let me rephrase the question. What is the character of an online event when it is all about something so tactile and something so tangible, such as coffee or food or... do you understand my concern?
Yeah.
So when you're making food or coffee or when you're serving it, you depend so much on your senses, the smell, the taste, the texture. These are all so important. So when all these events are taking place online, how can you replicate that, or how can you go as close as possible to those events now that you are watching through a screen? How can you smell the coffee, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Unless you have all press on the background, you know, roasting or something, or maybe, you know, on the cafetiere. So then, you can...
I'd say you get ready, get a bag of coffee.
Yes,
brew it however you... And then, you know, try and get the whole...
And then
whole
attend
experience.
The event by drinking your own homemade coffee and say, oh my God, the experience is great.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that actually one of the main... I think focuses for these online events is the fact that you know, more and more people are making coffee at home now, because that's for many months probably the only place that they were getting a cup of coffee. So you know, I think anyone can improve on their at home coffee game. So so I think, you know, there's always a little, you know, tutorial that can help
or a
with
little
that.
Twist,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We were saying earlier on with Ian that during this challenging times, we saw a lot of increase on home baking. Did you experience the same in coffee, where you just had customers that were coming in that they wanted to buy huge amounts of coffee that they wanted to do at home? And because we also had a lot of customers that suddenly were so much interested in your coffee beans. That we suddenly started selling retail, which we had never done before. And that all took place with the pandemic settling in.
Totally. I mean, it shifted quite dramatically during COVID in terms of the amount of like retail bags that we were selling both through our website, but mm-hmm. also to people like you and to other cafes who were then selling it to their customers, because everybody was looking for a source of good coffee. I mean, mm-hmm. I think, you know, the shelves were being raided mm-hmm. By people trying to dust off whatever bit of coffee making equipment they had in the mm-hmm. back of their cupboard, mm-hmm. and trying to find bags that mm-hmm. they could brew at home.
Do you think that that was a choice out of despair, or was it because suddenly they had a lot of time and they wanted to experiment? The energy that goes with that is very, very important. If you're desperate and yeah. you want to do it, then the energy is obviously of a negative
nature. I think desperate passion for coffee, hopefully.
Because I got a lot of customers coming in and describing me their home coffee machine and how amazing it is and what it does. And so they went into that extra level of like being passionate about making their own coffee. They still ended up coming to us because they could never get it right.
Yeah. Wow.
which is an amazing, an expensive hobby. You know, I'll try. Yeah. I don't get it right. So I wasted all press coffee. Now let me go to Europe and I'll buy the damn thing.
Well, it did sound like it was either you were making a sourdough starter or you were trying some new coffee.
Exactly.
A bit of equipment that you saw. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's great to get people involved. Like, I think that there is an element of, I think now people are more comfortable with making coffee at home. But I'm also kind of, in terms of like the whole industry, it's good for people to see how much a barista knows and how much, you know, how much their skills can change dramatically the experience.
You're absolutely right, because a lot of people think that without going to extra lengths of latte art and, you know, all this like jazz, a lot of people think that coffee is very, very simple. And when I was starting Aeropina, I'll tell you my experience, I was never fearing of running a company and managing 15 people that we are, but I was always like, oh my god, this is a coffee machine. How do you tackle this? This is heavier than me and bigger probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So making coffee has always been for me very important, but at the same time quite difficult to master. Not that I have learned that well now, but I'm proud of the development I've done. But it is something that is not that easy. And people say, oh yeah, well, you know, you ground your coffee beans and then you just put it there and then you just, you know, texture your milk and that's about it. Well, it's not just that easy.
Yeah.
So it is important for them to understand, I think.
I think it's, yeah, it is important. And it, you know, and I think that obviously people aren't going to be able to achieve the same. I mean, they could if they invested a lot of probably money and time mm-hmm. in terms of like having the best coffee set up at home. But mm-hmm. You're not going to get a flat white that tastes like Aeropina's flat.
Yeah. Which is great because they waste, you know, tons of all press retail yeah. bags, and then they come to Aeropina anyway. So I guess we're both
yeah.
Happy about that, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's, I guess it's good to have a hobby too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we heard all about London coffee festivals, UK coffee weeks, global online festivals. Tell us about All Press.
Okay, so All Press in the UK, we've been in the UK for since 2010, so mm-hmm. 10 years, and but the history goes back further. So it's last year was our 30th anniversary,
mm-hmm.
And All Press started in Auckland, New Zealand, mm-hmm. In 1989, and it was started by Michael All Press. So that's the origin of the name.
Did you know that?
No.
Funny. Nobody does.
No, it's commonly thought to be a reference to something to do with coffee, but yeah. It's actually
yeah.
Wow.
Mike's name. So yeah, he was living in Seattle in the 80s, and Seattle in the US was kind of ahead of the game in a way, I guess, leading the way with coffee back then. So he was inspired and wanted to bring that back to Auckland. So he opened a coffee cart.
Mm-hmm.
And then he opened the second one. The first one was in a little market, and then the second one was in a university. And then from there, wasn't happy with the coffee that he was able to buy from the suppliers. So mm-hmm. he and his friend and then co-founder Tony Pappas, they found a roaster together in Sydney, and they brought it back to Auckland and mm-hmm. started roasting, and then On the back of that, people started to ask whether they could buy the coffee that he was roasting, because mm-hmm. there weren't a lot of roasters. A lot of people were having the same desire for something better, as a better mm-hmm. flavor. So mm-hmm. so that's how All Press kind of transitioned to from just a coffee cart to being a wholesale coffee roaster.
So 20 years in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Why UK?
So in 2000 they opened in Australia, and then in 2010, I guess around that time, you know, they had heard and seen that the coffee scene was starting in the UK.
Okay.
Like they'd seen the coffee scene kind of starting in Australia and New Zealand, and they thought that it was a good time to go well away from their comfort zone mm-hmm. and try something somewhere else. So so found a little spot on Red Church Street in Shoreditch, brought with them one of the first roasters that they ever bought, and then and that started All Press in the UK.
And they never went back to Seattle. He never went back to Seattle.
I don't think so. Yeah, okay. We haven't.
You haven't expanded that much.
No,
yet.
Not yet.
So
not
at
yet.
The moment, we find All Press New Zealand,
Australia, and Tokyo, UK,
Singapore.
Yeah.
Okay, and each one of these countries have a similar operation to what All Press in London is, or a different one?
Similar. So one of our sort of core principles is quality and flavor, and you know, for us, part of that means that the coffee needs to be really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So roasting in every country except for Singapore, because it's a bit smaller, but roasting in every country is really important in order to achieve that. And we try and be local, even though we have these New Zealand parents.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's Tony and Michael, the founders, both still work in the business, so it's very much like it's very much connected.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, you know, we've all got our thing in different regions.
Mm-hmm. And so, just because we are on that topic, the ultimate quality test. If I was to have Red Church blend in UK, and then I was to take a plane, travel to Tokyo, and then to Australia, Singapore, and New Zealand, would the same blend be exactly the same?
That is the desire. That is the desire.
You probably need the coffee just to manage that huge flight, I'd say, you know.
Yes.
So the main blends we have... we have made to be consistent across all of these mm-hmm. places. We were using, you know, we use a similar roast profile. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like the flavors that you're going to experience should be pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
The coffees themselves might vary a little mm-hmm. bit just because of what we can get in the different regions. But,
mm-hmm.
But the experience should be the same. So you should be able to go to the South Island of New Zealand and have an all-press espresso blend, and it'll be similar to Tokyo, and it'll be similar to the UK.
Has anyone done that experiment yet?
I mean...
Because I'm happy to do it if you have problems. Like, if you can pay for my ticket, I have no problem.
I don't think we've ever sent a person to do it, but we normally just send the coffee travels.
What do you mean the coffee
travels?
It
travels around to the different... So everyone's...
No, you need a person.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sorry, but you need somebody who doesn't work for the company.
A blind taster to
yes.
go. Yeah.
Yes, somebody who doesn't work for the company, who has no fear of telling the truth how it is, you know, and not getting sacked.
I'm okay, sure well. I know someone like that as well.
You're looking at it.
Well... When travel starts up again, I think we should probably...
I don't have restrictions with traveling.
Don't
worry
about
it. No, I don't have a problem. I'll wear a mask and off I go. I need an extra suitcase. That's probably something you need to account to, you know, put into your budget. Because I travel a little bit heavier than usual.
I also like to travel heavy.
Okay,
I don't like to... traveling light doesn't work for me.
No, it doesn't work for me either. And, you know, so I am available if you want me to. I have no problem. I can drop Arapina for a week or two. Ian will take over, he said.
I mean, it's a good list of locations to visit for sure if you went to.
I think it's the minimum. I would want to say that I want you to wait. I want to wait until you open Seattle again, and then I'll have all of it. But you know what? I'll take what you have now. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
It's,
well, that's
it's
very.
Not, it's not a problem.
That's
I'll do
very
that.
Humble of you.
Yes, I know. I know. I know. This is who I am, actually. You know? So, wow, 30 years going back, all press, and you have various blends.
We do. So the thing that sort of kicked it all off is the is what is called the All Press Espresso blend. That's mm-hmm. our kind of landmark blend on which the majority of our customers use this. Mm-hmm. It's a really delicious balanced espresso. Great with milk, great by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that, you've got either the Art Espresso, which mm-hmm. is sort of deeper, more chocolatey, nutty mm-hmm. Roast. And then the Good Brew, which is a kind of sort of transitional. You can have it as an espresso. It's pretty fruity and citrusy.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great as a filter blend.
Mm-hmm.
And then House Decaf Blend is our decaf. Mm-hmm. It is similar in experience to the All Press Espresso blend. So we try and put as much focus on the decaf as we do mm-hmm. on our other ones. And then there's this other space called Our Coffee Galaxy, which is where we do like limited edition blends or single origins or mainly roasted for filter that people can kind of experience different things.
Mm-hmm. So primarily three?
Primarily
three. Plus
three
decaf.
Plus the decaf and the Coffee Galaxy.
How often do you change that, or how often do you go into that single origin really specialized blends?
So they're every sort of 6 weeks or so
mm-hmm.
normally, depends. Mm-hmm. And there's normally a couple to choose from. So we just did one little project called Two of a Kind, and that was two Colombian coffees processed differently. So mm-hmm. to show how washed processing versus natural processing affects the flavor of the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with fermentation. So higher mm-hmm. fermentation, lower fermentation.
And because you're talking about processes, can you please introduce us or let us know, educate us a little bit about how you extract caffeine from the coffee beans in order to make a decaf?
Okay.
Because there is a big debate behind it that it's chemically extracted mm. and it's not good for you. Then again, caffeine in a lot of sort of in huge doses is not good for you either. So I struggle between, do I get another coffee in the day or do I get a decaf coffee? Both seem to be a little bit bad on different levels.
So the decaf we have, for example, is Swiss water processed, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the caffeine is extracted just using I think it's using the green coffee extract. So basically it's using just water.
Mm-hmm.
You're just using the water and the coffee to extract the caffeine.
Okay.
From the bean. So completely healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no added chemicals to
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be fine. And it I think it eliminates something like 99 point something
mm-hmm.
percent of caffeine or
mm-hmm.
or thereabouts. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
But it's pretty much
so it's decaf, a natural right? process that you're using.
It's a natural
process which
yeah.
We need to say that not everyone does decaffeinated beans naturally.
No, these days I think, you know, in terms of like specialty coffee roasters, majority will be water processed.
Okay.
There are chemicals. I mean, the initial decaffeination process back in the day was harsh chemicals that I think were carcinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
These days, those chemicals aren't used. I think there are other ones you can, but we prefer the water processed, and it makes a really, I mean, the coffee is still really delicious in it. You know,
why would one prefer the chemicals instead of the water if the process that you're describing is as, I guess simple, or it sounds simple. Maybe
yeah.
it's not simple.
I'm not sure.
Is it a longer process or is it a more labor intense process? Would you have any idea around it? Don't worry if you don't.
I don't actually know because Swiss Water is actually a company
mm-hmm.
that do all the decaffeination.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't decaffeinate it.
Mm-hmm.
So we buy it already mm-hmm. decaffeinated.
Mm-hmm.
So potentially it's a proprietary thing. I don't really know, but I think, you know, in terms of just for the sake of it, I think it's probably better to stick with water.
Okay, no, I agree 100%. I agree. So how many are you now working in All Press London? And how many locations do you have?
There's about 40 people, including, you know, we've got three cafes. We've just opened a little cafe in the tea building in Shoreditch. We've got another one also in Shoreditch on Red Church Street, our original little, like, our, it's where our original site was, but it's a lot smaller now. It's a little espresso bar. And then our main location in Dalston, where we have a, you know, cafe, where our roastery, we do training and tech and fix machines and, yeah.
All the... But you supply, primarily your business is wholesale. You supply a lot. How many do you supply across the UK?
Around between 250 and 300. So lots of mainly cafes and restaurants and coffee focused businesses.
And have you ever been to any coffee shops that serve All Press? I tried it and said, my God, this is disgusting. This is like really bad.
How can you ask coffee? That question?
Absolutely never in my life.
We put a lot of
effort into training people, so
yeah, no,
so
I
that's
appreciate
not
that
really
but a... sometimes things go wrong.
Well, you know, on your world trip of All Press tasting, you'll have to tell me.
Well, no, because you're going to send me on to those ones who know, you know, top, who are top of the top baristas on the top of the top cafes. So I want to just go incognito to like some really shabby little cafe corner where sells All Press and just try it from the guy who is on a trial.
I mean, I think it goes back to what we were talking about before, you know, like it takes a lot of effort and practice to make good coffee, and you know, even the best person has a bad day, but I think, you know, I think we do a pretty good job training people, so I haven't had that experience.
Okay. How much of a success of a coffee cup is down to the coffee beans and the brand of the coffee beans? And how much is it on the machinery? And how much is it on the barista?
Ooh.
What's the percentage?
Well,
come on,
let
boys.
Let me grab my calculator. So, no, I think...
a rough percentage.
So, rough percentages. Well, I mean, I think, you know...
because it all matters along the process. You can have amazing coffee beans, but then have a not so good coffee machine.
Yeah.
And then your final product is not great. You can have good machinery and coffee beans, but then your barista is not, disregard the fact that you're training people, but your barista or the person who is making it doesn't know how to make coffee. Or you can have an average barista, average coffee beans. Pretty good.
It's a beautiful ballet of things all coming together. So as you say, you need a good coffee, fresh, good coffee, All Press. And
yes.
Then
percentage you think contributes into the success.
You need a good machine, as you say, something with a really stable brew temperature and powerful steam, because a lot of people are making milk all the time. And then it comes down to somebody knowing, especially on machinery like that, which you know it's very manual. You need to know how to use it. So it comes down to your skill too. So 33.333 for all of those
across the board. Yeah. That's very convenient.
I know.
Okay, let's say you've done somewhat okay these 30 years.
Mm.
I think you've done brilliant these 30 years that you've been here and there. I think everyone recognizes the brand. Mm. Everyone loves the brand. I once had a customer that walked in and it was a marathon day, and we're very busy with lots of people that are not our customers. So somebody walked in and he was like, he was standing on the till and he was like, do you sell All Press here? I was like, you know, like 25 All Press bags just behind us. Yeah. I was like, yes. He was like, no, 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 but do they actually have all pressed beans inside these bags? I was like, no, 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 we're emptying the bags and then we're putting cheap coffee beans inside. But the hype was so big that he was super excited and he couldn't believe it, that he had to ask the second level of question, which was like, do they actually have all pressed beans inside?
I wonder
inside?
Where this guy's like finding counterfeit.
Yeah,
all press. He's weird. Worried about some kind of seedy underbelly
no,
of the
I,
coffee market.
With all due respect, I think that his coffees were from McDonald's. So he was, but he had heard about all press. Oh, so cool. So you have a very good reputation. You've clearly had a very good history and evolution. So what's happening then in the future? What's what is all press has under their sleeve?
So. I almost forgot, but it's almost Christmas, so yes. that's our immediate future, and we always do a Christmas blend,
right?
Which is kind of, you know, chocolatey, spicy, sweet, really nice.
And you're supplying it to Starbucks.
They're our main competition for Christmas. it's much better.
Okay.
It's much better.
All right.
Anyway, so it's so we'll have that pretty soon, and that's always a fun time because we can, you know, kind of dress up the stores a little bit and we'll have some.
Did somebody say to you that Christmas is canceled this year?
Nobody told us.
Nobody.
No.
Okay, well, I guess you can keep.
We're gonna keep the dream alive,
yes.
Michaela.
Keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
I think you're gonna be the only one celebrating.
In fact, I think it says on the label, if there ever was a year, something similar, but if there was ever a year where you needed a little bit of Christmas, it's probably 2020.
That you can do it.
Yeah. Oh, no, just the vibe.
The whole vibe.
Okay, so we have a Christmas blend from All Press.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's nice. So a bit of spicy, you said?
Yeah, it's, well, it's sort of like, you know... you know, those delicious Christmassy flavors of chocolate and spice and fruits, roast
pork and roast potatoes and things like
look,
that.
Look, you can pair it with almost anything. Yeah.
Okay. No. Brussels sprouts and things like, you know, brandy pudding.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's good. When does it start, this blend from, and when does it finish?
November 16th it starts, and you can get it right up to Christmas.
Right.
Or until it runs out.
Until it runs out, yeah.
That's good. That's really nice. Have you always done that?
Yeah, I've done it for a long time.
Okay,
yeah.
And do you do anything around October, which also has spices and things like that, or no?
We don't do any pumpkins.
You don't do pumpkin spice and things like that?
No, not yet. So, yeah, we stick to the one seasonal.
That's fine. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. And then you have a couple of new products to introduce to us.
Yeah, so this is the next thing we've got up our sleeve, which is, you know, it's called All Press Coffee Shots, and it's a bottle. It's a bottle of 15 coffee shots, which has a lot of potential because it's basically a concentrated cold coffee base.
Mm-hmm.
It's just coffee and water.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely naturally sort of produced, and you can sort of mix it with water or milk, and you've got, you know, your classic coffee drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could add, you know, if you mix a shot of that with some soda, some maple syrup and some citrus, you've got a delicious like soda drink, or you can sort of whip up an espresso martini using it.
Okay.
So it's the base of lots of different things. And you can put it in a tiramisu, anywhere that you would use coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You can
that
use
that could be
yeah,
a substitute.
Yeah, and it's mainly for, you know, it's in terms of like this compared to an espresso for an iced latte, I think, you know, it really sort of raises the game on that.
So this is as an ingredient that would go somewhere, and this is a ready-made drink.
Yeah, so then we've also got the cans, which are it's called iced black coffee, double shot, and it's one of these, it's using the coffee shots and water to make just a cold black coffee. Mm-hmm. Again, just coffee and water. It's just like, it's like a really healthy energy drink in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's an exciting other thing too. And it's sort of more of like a grab and go product. Whereas the bottles, you know, are more kind of for your home or for a bar or for, you know, a restaurant or something that's looking to use them as an ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So they're more than just a, they're more than just a beverage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And do you intend to supply this? Because we find a lot of those drinks in supermarkets, yeah, and Selfridges, mm-hmm, and whatever, mm-hmm, else, yeah, is. Do you intend to supply that drink onto that scale, or does this drink remain in the fridges of the artisan coffee shops around the UK that you supply all press anyway?
I think I think, you know, that's the main goal is, you know, another product for our customers, especially these days when you know, probably people aren't visiting on the regular, in terms of like the regularity that they would a cafe on a, you know, if they were sort of traveling somewhere for work. So, mm-hmm, you know, if, grab a coffee for the morning and a can for, mm-hmm, later. And it's, you know, you can take it anywhere you're going. They can go in a cooler for a picnic, or, mm-hmm, well, you know, so they're a whole different coffee category for, mm-hmm, us, really, because we, you know,
so that still remains onto the fridges of your customers.
Yeah, they said so our customers, and sort of, I guess we're looking for higher end retail as well, like grocery, you know, higher end grocery. So
because they usually, my question is that they usually kill the prices, so then there, yeah, is, you know, there is always for the smaller retailers like us, there's, yeah, always a competition and big concern, mm-hmm, of what drinks you're putting into your fridge, because let's say the simple example of a Coca-Cola, if, yeah, Tesco is selling it for 70p, but you're already buying it 90p from your supplier.
Yeah.
So there is always a competition, which you can't beat naturally. And so if a drink like that was to go to like my local Sainsbury's, Tesco, whatever that is, Waitrose, and then they would start selling it for £2,
yeah,
but you, no, supply to me for 180 because I'm a smaller retailer and that's normal, then it would be something that I wouldn't look to have into my fridge. If that makes, yeah, sense.
No, that makes sense. We're looking to supply these to in the same way that we supply our normal coffee that we roast. Mm-hmm. So, you know, high quality operators, mm-hmm, like Arapina.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely want, you know, that to be the main focus for us, and not, mm-hmm, not the, you know, big supermarket chains.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, okay. I get what you're saying. I think, you know, I think it's, you know, it's definitely, you know, I think it's definitely like one of those things where there's a little bit more flexibility with it, because you also don't need to know how to prepare the can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it can go into higher quality businesses that aren't cafes, mm-hmm, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. So like, you could put it in a wine shop.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Say,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where normally coffee wouldn't be.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that's where the opportunity really is. Yeah. I think high quality still, but,
mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the scene of the cold drinks is always very exciting.
Mm.
We get a lot of samples a lot of the times in Arapina, and there is a wealth of new suppliers that they're coming through. And obviously they start low, which means, or they start small, I wouldn't say low, they start small, which means that they would approach cafes. And so you're very happy to help them and support them. But the moment they get a little bit bigger and they hit the supermarkets, then it's almost like the trade is dead from your end, because you can't compete the prices. So I think it does stand a chance, because there is a few products out on the market, to be honest with you, and I do think that it's definitely of a better quality than the ones that I have tried, because I always felt that when a drink changes the way that should be served,
yeah,
it loses part of the experience. So, sure, for example, you can get wine from a can nowadays, yeah, but maybe I'm traditional, maybe I'm too old for this, but I would not drink wine out of a can.
No.
So what you don't want to have here is to take down on that experience of drinking a coffee when that travels from a mug or even a takeaway cup, let's say, to a can. And then you suddenly lose some of the flavor, some of the taste, some of the texture, but also some of the experience of that drink.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what this is trying to achieve is to be, in a way, its own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's not trying to be a coffee that you would necessarily get from somebody who made it on an espresso machine. Mm-hmm. So it's not trying to be that.
It's not competing.
Yeah,
that.
because the base is. You know, the product itself, the base is, the way that it's produced, it creates, it's not like cold brew because it's not immersion.
Mm-hmm.
So like it makes a really clean base that
mm-hmm.
doesn't ferment.
Mm-hmm.
So what you then get is a really clean coffee drink.
Mm-hmm.
But so when you mix that with water and put it in a can, the idea with the can is that it stands up by itself.
Mm-hmm.
You drink it from the can,
mm-hmm.
and it's good like that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do anything to the can.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it's like it's ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, you don't need to, you know, heat it or mix it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I think it should hopefully be its own thing,
mm-hmm.
and not try and be something
that,
you know,
it's not.
That it's not. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
If that makes sense.
I don't know
if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. So where can we find you now in London? Let's forget my little trip around the world. But that is coming. But where can we find you? I think you mentioned a little bit, but can we go over the locations?
So you can find, I mean, us ourselves, you can find us in Dalston.
You mean if somebody wants to meet Charlie, right?
I'll be there.
Okay.
Dalston or Redchurch Street. So there's two on Redchurch Street now. So there's the one on the corner of Club Row and then the one in the T building.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, where else you can find us is if you go to our website and there's a link to find All Press, and there's
mm-hmm.
a map with all of the cafes in the UK that serve All Press.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully there's some nearby.
Mm-hmm. And you would hope that they would have the coffee beans inside the old press bag.
Well, that's the hope, but I hadn't heard that that this was in question, but we'll have to get investigated. Maybe you can start by investigating this conspiracy.
Although I did think that I will probably sell my empty coffee bean bags on eBay and make a little business, a little side business.
Right,
so for those who want to buy cheaper coffee beans but keep the old press sort of look on the outside, so if you find your sales are dropping a little bit, that might be me behind that.
Please don't tell them. Just compost them. They're compostable.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm only joking. We're not going to do anything about that.
No, that's cool. And then if you do want to try All Press and you can't get to a cafe,
mm-hmm.
then our website also has a shop where you can get coffee for home and ways to brew it, and you can try the coffee shots at home too if you want to put them in a tiramisu.
Absolutely. Or a
great.
Coffee walnut cake.
Or a coffee walnut cake.
Ian, do you have any questions?
One question, the cans, because it's got on the iced black coffee, should you serve it chilled? I was thinking.
Yeah, it's really good. So I think, you know, the can from the fridge is the way to do it. Or from a cooler.
Right.
What do you call cooler? Do you call cooler?
Yeah, cooler.
Cooler.
Yeah.
Cooler.
What do you call them here?
Fridge. Well, yeah.
No, you know, like you have coolers.
If you're on a picnic.
You
oh, right.
Cooler.
Yeah. Cooler bag, yeah.
Ian doesn't go for a picnic, so he wouldn't know the terminology.
No.
Ian, what'd you get up to in May?
I just hang around radio studios all day. I don't get let out, you know?
So, yeah, chilled and from a cooler. And these are ambient temperature?
Those are ambient, yeah.
We're talking about the coffee shots.
The coffee shots. So, once they're open, they'll
be... The concentrated ones.
The concentrated ones. So, they're shelf stable. But when you open them, you put them in the fridge and they're good for a month.
Okay.
Right, a month. That's
and
good.
They don't lose any intensity or any...
They don't lose any intensity. And just because, because of the way that it's processed, it's a really, like, it's super clean. There's barely anything in it.
So they don't settle. Or do you need to shake them before
they
you
sort of, they have a little bit of, like a really little bit of sediment, but they stay pretty good. And then if you froth, they froth up like crazy. So they make a really nice foam on the top of your espresso martini when you shake it.
Nice.
Oh, there you go.
Very nice. So I have one last question.
Come on then.
So you know, I'm the owner of Arapina, and we of course have your have your coffee blends and the beans and the bags, oh, the whole shebang.
I'm buying you a trip
at Arapina. Yeah. So I know also that you have worked for Allpress for 10 years.
Yes.
So I want to test your loyalty here.
Okay. I thought you did with the question about where do you find bad coffee.
Okay. No, that's the second level. Uh-huh. So after now you've met me and I know you, I am coming one day to you and I'm telling you that I am actually, on a personal level, drink constantly instant coffee like Nescafe.
Okay.
So what are the actions you're going to do following that statement from me? Are you blocking me on Instagram and WhatsApp? Are you reporting back onto my Allpress? Or are you, do you ban us from supplying us to Arapina and overall we don't have any good coffee because of my personal preferences?
As long as your personal preferences
don't matter that much.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I try and figure out, you know, what's making you do this. Why?
How committed are you on good coffee and Allpress coffee? So if I say to you I drink instant coffee, how bad am I rated on your radar of coffee geeks?
I think people would be lying if they told you that they never, out of necessity, had a moment of having to drink an instant coffee on occasion.
Yes.
But I think, no, I wouldn't, I would not shun you. I would try and say, why don't you try these coffee shops?
Okay, all right.
It's almost the same. It's instant, just in liquid form.
Okay.
You know, I try and sort of steer
convert
you.
Convert me.
I try and steer you in the right direction. I wouldn't, I don't proselytize, but I will try and sort of direct you on the right path.
Okay, but you can't compete with Nescafe. They are the best on instant. I'm sorry, but.
On
instant coffee, Nescafe is the best.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got these coffee shots.
Okay, so you're pretty committed,
yeah,
but you wouldn't give me away to all your staff members and and Mr. Allpress, and you wouldn't necessarily. Would you embarrass to say
no,
that?
No, I try not to judge.
Okay, good. That's a good way of living your life.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
I hope you
enjoyed
it.
Yeah, it's been great. Thank you.
Good. So we know where to find Allpress. You know that Arapina stocks it. You know the new up-and-coming products.
And Nescafe is good, you've just said.
Don't plug them. Come on.
Well, thank you.
You've plugged all sorts.
We're only joking about the big brands, although we do like to take the mickey on them, to be honest
so
with
it's
you.
Nescafe are in next week, as our guest on there. Yeah.
Let's put them against Allpress.
Yeah. I love Allpress coffee. I think I said it during there, didn't I? So thank you so much for Charlie.
I think they're all right. No, I'm joking. Of course they are amazing. Thank you very much, Charlie. Thank you for joining us.
And thank you for listening to Bread and Butter. We'll be back with another one soon.